Shalom Aleichem's sweetest friends. This year should be a special schuss for Moroni Morasi, Sheyichyu, Lusus, Wisvictor Bastila Rovida, Arachavi Fega Bas Michal Dispasia. And we are continuing our series of Shiulim in the Sefer HaKadosh Iglot HaRaya from Maran HaRav Zatzal. We are in letter Kuf Lamed Dalet. This is in the first volume on page Kuf Samach Gimel. And this is a letter to his Talmud, Rav Moshe Zeidel. Baruch Hashem, Ir HaKodesh, Yafoi, Tibona V'tikonein. Hey, Iyar. What a date that is, huh? Hey, Iyar. Tof Reish Samech Ches. So we're talking about 1908. And exactly 40 years later on this day was the birth of the state that Rav Kook was waiting to see, although I'm sure it would have caused him a lot of tzara to see a lot of what went on then and still goes on to this day. In any event, he writes as follows: Yididi v'chavivi achocha mashalim otzer ator v'yiras Hashem tohoira. Mar Moshe Zeidel shlita shalom uvracha. My friend, my beloved, the complete chacham, a treasure house of Torah and Yerushalayim, pure Yiras Hashem, Mr. Moshe Zeidel. Shalom uvracha. Hisanakti al dvarecha yekorem asher ze kama higiuni. I was very happy. I was very misaneg. I took great pleasure in your precious words that reached me now. Aval lo matzasi eis kosher lisaneg gam ken b'shivilach. But I didn't find the proper time, fitting time, to enjoy the pleasure of answering you. Machmadi my beloved. Divrei shalom ve'emes, words of peace and truth. Gamati, you see a lot in the Rav's letters how busy he was. He was crazy. Today they say crazy, crazy busy. So he was busy beyond crazy busy. Gamati, hineni mukaf tirda v'pizul nefesh. I also now, I have tirda, and my soul is scattered around. As a matter of fact, at the end of the letter, there's an addendum by his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, where he writes, Adoni avi mori v'rabi shlita b'kshani l'hoisif, my father wanted me to tell you, to add, that this letter was written with great, a scattered soul, and with many troubles. Rav Kook had so much on his mind, so many things keeping him busy. She'einam nosnim li'iyun menuchasa. V'lechein ina yochel avar l'sadeh. And my father has tsar that he can't properly organize his thoughts. Rakopanim, this is what the Rav writes. That I'm filled with tirda and pizur nefesh, like Rav Tzvi adds at the end. So I'm going to somehow try to overcome those things that are preventing me from writing, and I'll write a little bit. So the question was, you can see from his answer, what do we do about biblical criticism? What do we do about archaeology? When the archaeologists seem to contradict the Torah. So I'll just say at the outset that from what I've read, archaeology is an inexact science. And there are many different ways, I'm not an archaeologist, but this is what I've read from archaeologists. There are many different ways to interpret archaeological findings. So, both the dating of the archaeological findings, the meaning of the archaeological findings, and it's important to note that there are archaeologists who are from Jews, who keep Tariag Mitzvahs, and Mitzvahs Derabbanan, and archaeologists who are Kofrim, don't believe in anything. And they're the same, it's just like there are biologists who are Ma'aminim, and there are biologists that are Kofrim, there are physicists that are Ma'aminim, there are physicists that are Kofrim. There are historians that are Ma'amin and there are historians that are Kofrim. So really, whatever field you go into, you can find people who are Ma'aminim. You can find people who are not Ma'aminim. Well, generally, in the Orthodox rabbinate, you'll have only Ma'aminim. In any case, and so you see that it's not a direct stira. The Torah has not been disproven by archaeology. And that's just the Mayhakdom. Now, much more importantly, we get to what the Rav says.
Divrei Torah.
I want to arouse your pure spirit about the opinions that come through the new investigations that, for the most part, contradict the simple meaning of Divrei Torah. It's also important to note that as they make more archaeological findings, so different archaeological findings contradict the old conclusions. So you don't really know for sure anything. So what are we going to do when the archaeology seems to contradict Torah? The pashtus of Divrei Torah. Dati bezehi shekol misha deyosav yisharois roi lo ledas. Anybody whose opinions are straight, whose understanding is correct. It's fitting for him to know. Sha'av shein kol emes muchrachas b'chol oisen achadashis. Kol makom enen achu chavim klal la'kchishan. Even though it's not that it's necessarily true, all the new things they found, all of their conclusions. It's not an emes muchrachas. So one can just say, it's sheker. Sheker, sheker, sheker. That's what one can say. Says the Rav, no. Ein anu chayavim klal la'kchishan b'beir v'lamud negdam. We are not obligated to contradict them clearly and stand against them. Because it's not the primary purpose of the Torah to tell us simple events that happened. Torah is not a history book. The most important thing is the pnimis. Hasbara pnimit shebinyanim. V'zei tromem od yoter b'chol makom shenimtza koach soter. Shanu mitodedim letgaber al yado. So what matters is the hasbara pnimis, and this will be exalted even more when we find the koach soter. So we're encouraged to empower ourselves through it. Because when you find something contradictory, then you have to look into the pnimis of what the Torah is saying. And the Torah must mean something different than what you thought. In other words, it's not that the Torah is not true. The Torah is true. The question is how you're understanding it. Maybe your understanding is untrue, is incorrect. Ikaram shel dvarim ne'amru kvar b'divrei harishonim u'beroshan b'morei nevuchim. So this was already said in the Morei Nevuchim. Chelek Aleph, Perek Ayin Aleph. Chelek Beis, Perek Tezvav. Perek Tezayin, Perek Chof Hei. So this is already primarily stated by the Moira, and now we can expand more. Says the Rav, we have no difference. There's no difference to us if the world started out in the golden age, that man was in Gan Eden, and things were super geshmak and ruchnius and gashmius, or if the metzius started from down below, from one single-celled organism, which developed more and more and more, eventually from monkeys to human beings, and it keeps getting better and better. It doesn't matter. We have no nafkamina. Wow. So is evolution right? No, like the Rav says in a different letter about evolution. He writes, "Ubechlal, ein anu tzrichem lios kol kach meudokim l'shita says patchus." We don't have to be so from, so connected to the theory of evolution. There are definitely some sparks of truth. But there are also lies and imaginations. You look at the earlier generations, you see people are much greater than people today. So what's the whole thing about man's evolving? He's getting better. So the slow development, so you can't say that they're less developed than we are. No, they're more developed than we are. But the slow development is one of the tens of thousands of infinite ways that the life of all of the world reveals himself to us. So Rav Kook isn't sold on the theory of evolution, that it's true or that it's not true. We don't really know. And you know what? We don't really care. That's the truth. What do we have to know? We have to know what the Torah tells us. And that is, שיש אפשרות גמורה שאדם אפילו אם יתעלה במעלה גדולה ויהיה מוכן לכל כבוד ועונג, אם ישחית דרכיו, יוכל לאבד כל אשר לו, יוכל להרע לעצמו לתולדותיו עד דורות רבים מאוד. We have to know that it doesn't matter how great man becomes, and he's prepared for every oneg, for every kavod. If he corrupts his ways, he can lose everything, and he can cause evil to happen to himself and to all of his descendants for many generations. וזה הלימוד יוצא לנו מהעובדה של מציאות אדם בגן עדן, וחטאו וגירושו. That we learn from the Maisa of Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, and his sin and his expulsion. ואדון כל הנשמה עושה יודע עד כמה צריכה להיות עמוקה הרשימה בלב בני אדם, להיות זהירים מן החטא. And the master of all souls knows how much it has to be deep, the impression on the heart of people to be careful from sin. וכפי אותו עומק ממש, בואו כמה וכמה אותיות על זה בתורת אמת. כשאנו באים, and the Torah tells us about that, that depth of what sin can do to man, and how careful we have to be. וכשאנו באים לידי מידה זו, איננו נזקקים עוד ללחום דווקא נגד הציור המתפרסם בין החוקרים החדשים. And therefore it doesn't bother us. אנחנו לא מתרגשים, like they say in modern Hebrew. We don't get all nervous when we hear about this theory of evolution. Let them say it, and even if they're right, of course, there are many holes. If one wants to know, there's an institute in Seattle, the Discovery Institute, which is mostly non-Jews, but scientists who don't buy it. They don't buy the whole evolution thing, partially or totally. And there are many scientific questions. I mean, one question is, if man developed from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? What evolved first, the blood or the heart? The heart pumps the blood. I mean, there are many, many, many different questions on evolution and the Cambrian explosion. A lot of questions. And maybe they're right, or maybe they're partially right, like the Rav says. There needs to say MS. So we don't have to buy into it completely, and we don't have to reject it completely. It's not a steer to Torah, because it's talking about something different. That's telling us ancient history, and the Torah is telling us what we have to know to live. And that is that you can be in a matzav where you're doing amazing, sin, and mess things up for the future generations. וכאשר אין אנו נוגעים בדבר, נוכל לשפוט מישרים. And now that we're not nogea, because we don't care, because we know the Torah is true, then we can judge honestly. Now we can just go with the truth. In other words, we don't have to go with our confirmation bias, that we're going to reject them because we want to just confirm what we already believe. No! We know what we believe is true. And now we can judge it what the scientists say as objectively as possible. And if the truth says that they are correct, great. And if not, then not. עיקר תפארת חיינו הוא האמת של אחדות ברום גובה ופערה של האחדות הוא האמת של האחדות ברום גובה ופערה הנצחי. והצדק הנצחי ההולך עימה בלא פירות. The primary glory of our lives is the truth of the unity and the highest level and its eternal glory, and the eternal righteousness that goes with it without separation. זאתי נשמתה דאורייתא שדווקא מבעדה נוכל להציץ גם הגוף הלבוש נידה. And that's the Kabbalah. That's נשמסה דאורייתא, like it says in the Zohar Ba'alos Chakuf Nun Beis. The soul of the Torah. We look at the soul of the Torah, and then after we look at the soul of the Torah, we can look at the goof of the Torah. ובכלל הרעיון של התפתחות האיטית עומדו גם הוא בראשית התפתחותו, ואין ספק דבר שישנה את צורתו, ויוליד חזיונות שבהם נראה גם כן דליגות, המשלימות את חיזיון המציאות, ואז יובן עורם של ישראל בעצם בהירותו. Included in the idea of slow development and b'chlal, the idea of slow development is only at the beginning of its development, and there's no suffix it's going to change. And then we're going to see things, as we've seen, that there are skippings, that it jumps from one to another, and it doesn't evolve step by step. And that is going to complete our view of reality, and then we can understand the light of the Jewish people in its great clarity. והדבר הוא ההפך ממחשבת החוקרים באומות העולם בישראל לוקחים בעקבותיהם, לוקחים את התנ"ך על פי הסברה הנוצרית, שהייתה נעשה העולם הזה בית כלא. And this is the opposite of the thoughts of the scientists among the Goyim and the Jews that follow them, that learn Tanakh based on the Christian explanation, and then this world becomes a jail. אבל הבנת תאורה של שמחת החיים ואורם אשר בתורה היא דווקא ידי הערובה הבטוחה של אהבה. שיהיה אדם מאושר מאוד, ורק מקרה של חטא הרחיק את דרכו. We have to know that man was born into the Garden of Eden, which means that the ideal reality of man is that he's not in a jail, and this world isn't disgusting and ugly and terrible, but that man was born into a beautiful world, filled with simchas chaim, filled with light, and he was very happy, and he sinned, and that's what messed everything up. מובן הדבר שמחשור מקרי מוכרח להיות נתקן. We know that a chance, an error, has to be fixed. V'adam yashuv l'ma'aloso la'ad. And the person is going to return to his ma'ala forever. Avar rayon etpatchut, v'osu me'arva yavchid l'olam shem yamod b'emtza narko. V'shem yisog l'achor, kevan she'en eno motzim makom batuch l'omar, she'osher hu teva kavua l'adam, v'kavachom l'adam achomri, k'mo she'buguf n'eshem ayach, l'akin rak, havayat adam b'gan edin mekayemet lanu et olam ha'or. מלא רייז הרוי להיות אמת מעשית והיסטורית גם כן, אף הפי שאיננו מעכב לנו. So the idea of evolution is scary because man might stop in the middle. And who says that man is supposed to be happy? When you look back at Gan Eden, you see, oh, that's really the ideal state of man. So that fills the world with light. And therefore, it's fitting to be an emet ma'asit v'historit gamken. It's fitting that the lamaisa, that was the history as well. That historically man really was in the Garden of Eden. Because that's the way it should be. Because that's the essence of man. That man is filled with light and happiness and joy and goodness. But the Rav says, af pi she'eino ma'akev lanu. But it's not ma'akev. It's not critical to think that way. But if you think that way, that's fine. ובכלל זהו כלל גדול במלחמת הדעות, שכל דעה באה לסתור איזה דבר מן התורה, צריכים אנו בתחילה לא דווקא לסתור אותה, כי אם לבנות את ארמון התורה ממעלה. ובזה נתמוררים מתורממים על ידה. In general, we have מלחמת הדעות. Anytime something is coming to contradict Torah, we don't have to at the beginning contradict it, but rather to build our palace of Torah above it. In other words, and then when you're on a high floor, then you can look down and you can say, oh, now I understand better. So we're not nervous about the past. We look at the past and we say, it's fine. Whatever you say is fine. We're going to learn our Torah. We're going to expand our Torah. And then we're going to see things with a broad perspective. יש על זה דוגמאות מחול, אבל קשה להעריך ולחם לב כשמותך יספיק הקיצור. So the more you learn, the more you'll understand, and therefore we're not nervous. And then we can fight against Ra, or falsehood, with greater security. And there are many examples of this, but it's hard for me to be ma'arich, and for a man with a wise heart like you, the kitzur is enough. In order to know, Ech l'dgol b'shem Hashem imal l'kol l'chot ha'min ha'shvot, how to wave the flag of godliness above all of the winds that are blowing, u'deshtamesh b'kol l'tovatenu ha'amitit, shugam ken tovat ha'kol. And to use everything for our good, which is also the good of everyone. So this is a very, very yesodistic letter from the Rav saying how we're supposed to learn. We learn and learn and learn, and we're not nervous. Oh, what's going to be? What's going to be if they're right? What's going to be if the scientists are right? What's going to be if evolution is correct? Does that mean our whole life is falsehood? No. It doesn't mean that our life is falsehood. Because Torah is emes, Moshe emes, v'sarasa emes. And the question is the Torah telling us, in every story, is the Torah telling us historical reality? Or is the Torah telling us an idea? Now this year, Moshe Zeidel was born in February of 1886, and he died in December of 1970, not even so long ago. Less than a year before I was born, he died. Lived 84 years. I saw online, I saw a picture of him. The truth is, I've never seen a picture before. I've heard so many times of letters to Moshe Zeidel, one of Rav Kook's Talmidim, but I never saw a picture of him. So it's nice to see what he looked like. He looked in the picture, he was a very old man. He died when he was 84, so maybe he was taken at the end of his life. So he ended up being the principal of the Mizrahi Seminar for female teachers. Seminar Mizrahi Lemorot. He was born in Kirklas in Lithuania, near Courland. He learned in Telz. He also learned in Boisk in the Beis Medrash of his Rebbe Rav Kook. He taught Tanakh to Rav Tzvi Yehuda. He learned Bechavrusa with the Rav. He also learned with Rav Yochanan Wasserman, with Avraham Eliel Kaplan. In 1905, he started learning in the rabbinic seminary in Germany. But like his friend, one of the other people, the other person, Rav Kook wrote his most interesting letters to almost, was Rabbi Menashe Levine. So like his friend Rabbi Menashe Levine, he was very disappointed at the level of learning. And then he went to the Bayern University in Switzerland. And he got his doctorate. In 1913, he went to the United States and he taught Tanakh and Hebrew at what later became Yeshiva University. He was the head of the teacher school. He was also responsible for the schools in Baltimore. They had a Jewish community in Baltimore. And in 1931... when he was 45 years old, he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And that's when he became the Menal of Seminar Mizrahi Lemorot V'Gananot in Yerushalayim, which later became Mechlelet Efrata. And he wrote many articles in Tanakh, language. After his death, it was put into a sefer, Chikrei Lashon. He also put out a Torah journal, academic Torah journal, Tachkamoni. He was also started the Das Mikra, and he wrote the Biur HaMicha. He was very close to the Rav. You can see how much the Rav loved him from the letters. And he passed away on the first night of Hanukkah, the same Yortzeit as the Heilige Talmud Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Saba Kaddisha of the present Rebbe. So Zayin Gezitnin Shtarit Le'Yibodah Ben Chaim L'Chaim. He's buried in the Har Zesim. And on his Matseva it says, Po Nitman Ish Teferes, Kalil Amidois, Tzadik Chocham V'onav, Maskil B'Toiras Kel Elyon, U'Belashen HaKodesh, Lamad Toira v'limeid l'malamadehal v'gomal chasadim ein roye. But it's important to know that he wasn't just a scholar and a Talmud Chacham, but he was also an ish chesed, which obviously if you just have Torah and you don't have chesed, what does that mean? Not much. You need both. So we see that his interest was in Tanakh and language. So at the end of the letter, I'm skipping one paragraph. where he asks the kasha on a tesis in Tainis. And then the Rav says to him, "V'aldvar hamiktzos hasher b'chalta yoyel Hashem lahatzlichacho v'yor alecha me'or chokhmasoi v'yifas chasodav hamerubim v'tizke liyos mimekatshe yishmoi baruch hu ba'olamo v'l'yisrael tiyat tiferes la'ametz pirkayim koshlos v'avas toira v'yir ha'shamayim shel emes hadrusha mod li'samech b'doreinu mikol asher lo lev nachon v'ruach emes." So what you chose to study, Hashem should give you hatzlacha, he should shine upon you from the light of his wisdom and his chesed, you should be mekadesh shmo ba'olam, you should be a glory to the Jewish people, you should strengthen weak knees with Avos Torah, with Yiras Shamayim of truth, that's needed very much in our generation. And I'm achtom bebracha ve'ava rabba, I'm sealing with a bracha and much love. And then he writes a Rashi Tevas and Natshurav, V'nefesh, Yedid Olam maybe, Yedid Elyon, Dorei Shlomo Tamid, Ava Rabba, Hakotan Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. So that's this letter. And it's important to note that there's another letter, Ve'igrot ha-ra'aya, igeret, Sadi Aleph, also, Yafo, Tibana v'tikonein, Yud Sivan Tafrei Samche. So this was a letter that was 3 years before we had Tafrei Samches. So this is Tafrei Samech Hei. And this is a letter also to Reb Moshe Zeidel. Ahuvi Chasin Torah, Memula B'deah V'yiras Hashem Tahira, Mar Moshe Zeidel. And he says, there's a lot to say about all of your questions. He asks very strong questions. So Rabbeinu writes, V'advar Medrash, what are we going to do about the fact that the scientists say that the world is billions of years old, and we say the world is less than 6,000 years old? So he says, first of all, there were other tkufas before our tkufa, as we see in the Mekubalim. He would create worlds and then destroy them. In the Zohar and Vigra, we see there are other people besides Adam. So maybe they would talk other tkufas. So that's his basic answer. His answer is, what are we going to do about the Bria Sa'olam, about the Minyan Shnosa Olam? And the answer is that say Parshas Bereishis is kvod, like Chazal say, kvod Elokim Haster Davar. It's Yisrei Torah. So we don't really know what's written there. So therefore, like they say, that if you think Torah contradicts science, you're either misunderstanding the Torah, you're misunderstanding the science, or you're misunderstanding both. Or maybe they're just talking about two different, completely different things. Like we saw before, that it could be that the Torah is telling you it's all a mashal. The Torah is telling you you have to know in order to live your life. The Torah is telling you moral truths, and the scientists are talking about science. Or it could be that it's written in the Torah. because Torah is filled with Sisrei Torah. We also have in the Zohar that there were other Bruim besides Adam Rishon. It's not all written there. I'm saying there are so many laws, and saying you could fill up libraries with science books, and the Torah tells you all the science, all of Bereishis and a few Pesukim. So where's all the science? Where are the atoms? Where are the countless scientific realities of our world, all the laws of physics and all the chemicals? Doesn't say the Torah doesn't tell us all the different chemicals. Where are all the chemicals? Everything. There's just so much not there. The answer is that it's not all written explicitly. So on one hand, you could say that the Torah and science are talking on different levels. This is Torah, this is science. So you can say it's alluded to in the Torah, but it's Sisrei Torah. So anach lo mitrakshim. And we just have to know that how to act. The Torah doesn't tell us the science. The Torah tells us how to live our lives. And that's what matters. And we have to know that God created the world. And that's what matters. How old exactly is the world? We don't know, and we don't really care that much. That's the Rav's basic approach. There's an article, there's a wonderful website called rationalbelief.org.il. There's an article by Harav Eli Horovitz, Hashem Yinkom Damo, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. And he says, Nesakem et ha'yisadot b'divrei Harav. Hizkir Rav Shish Lebrei V'lochon et Brei Hamadash Ken Lefim Dubar B'asherot B'lvat. So first of all, there's a lot of hasharot. They're just making guesses. So don't be so sure they're right. The whole idea of Ubanim, of fossils, are based on a lot of hasharot. Geology is more well-based than the science of fossils. And there are a lot of rias of science that the world is millions of years old, or billions. There's a beautiful book written by Rabbi, I don't even know if he officially was a rabbi, but he was certainly a tremendous scholar, Rabbi Avraham Korman, called Evolutia VeYahadut. If you go on the Otzer HaChochma, I think it's on the cover page, because it's Aleph Beis. So that was a very, very popular book. He wrote, I think, in the 60s. Once wrote him a letter, he wrote me back. Very interesting personality, Rabbi Avraham Korman. That's for the more scientifically minded people. And then the Rav says that science can't contradict Torah. At Pesukei Maaseh Bereishit Emenu Fresh Kach Shealesh Meyom Sheolam Kayem Milyonei Shanim Ketivrei Chazal Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Borei Olamot Umachrivanu Mikol Olam Mishuru Chalakim Shemasridim Otam Amadam Otse. So what science has found are the leftovers of those earlier worlds. Rav Masbir Benosaf Lekach Shepesukei Maaseh Bereishit Em Sitrei Torah. There are secrets, there's Sisrei Torah, and therefore you can't ask based on what we see in the physical world, because we don't even understand what we're reading when we see Maaseh Bereishis. And we see in the Zohar there were people who preceded man. And the Kuzari says that the Torah is counting the minyan from when Inyan Eloki started, from Adam Arishon. So it could be that before Adam there were lots of things going on for billions of years, but where our count is from Adam. And who says that a day is a day? Or this be a rav shes manim u'torim b'torah b'maseh b'reishit u'chalim l'chol b'tocham t'kufot shel milyonei shanim. Kach l'dugma t'arviyama sh'nafla l'adam b'talich itbadkut ha'todah ha'anushit b'yachatz l'zugiyut u'le'erich ha'mishpacha. So it could be it took a long time, the whole thing. Sleep fell on man, and then man understood he had consciousness, awareness, and he understood how to properly live life and marriage, family. So it could be these were long processes. Obviously, to cover science and Judaism and archaeology and Judaism in one shir is you need a 20,000 shir. But that's the Rav's basic approach, as we summarize from these two letters. So you can look in Letter Tzadi Aleph at the Rav writes, and you can look in Letter Kuf Lama Dalet. That's the one we started with. And we thank Rav Moshe Zeidel for asking the Rav these questions. And this is the Rav's approach, and there are other approaches, but I promise you one thing. The Rav didn't daven Mincha with any less kavana because of these questions. Moshe Zeidel was bothered. I don't know if Moshe Zeidel davened the Mincha with less kavana. I hope he didn't either. But the bottom line is that Moshe emes v'sarasso emes. And the only question is how to reconcile Torah and science. Science with Torah. But the fact that Torah's emes is not something that we can question. 100% emes. The only question is, what exactly the Torah is telling us and how that squares with the science. Is the Torah telling us something scientific or not? Can the Torah be read? Some people read the Torah that way. Books have been written to show that Maaseh Bereishis really stems exactly with the science. It fits exactly with the science. So I'm not convinced, but I'm not unconvinced. I really don't know. And the Rav doesn't know, and frankly, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And anybody who says they know, I wouldn't believe them. All we know for sure is that Moshe emes v'sarasso emes. That we know for sure. How exactly to read it, how to read the Parshas Bereishis, that we can't be sure of. And Mashiach is going to come, and then we're going to find out all the secrets of creation. I hope, Mitzvah Hashem. But in the meantime, what we have is that we know that if man sins, he gets punished, and he really messes things up. And if man does the right thing, he's rewarded. And a man was born into Gan Eden, and he's supposed to live in an ideal, perfect world. And that's God's tachlis for man, that he should have Eden. And that if he eats from the Eitz Hadas, Tov or Ra, that can be dangerous when he follows his taivas. And the countless lessons that we can learn from the story of Gan Eden. Those lessons are all true. Whether it actually happened historically, if you had a video camera, you could video it. Who knows? So, we should be zochem mir tzashem. We must chazik in our amuna, in our avoda, and that we should mitzvah b'karov see the coming of Mashiach and the revelation of Sisrei Torah. Thank you for listening, Shalom.